for in the past. This has learned a lot about physics and mathematics of string theory from studying supersymmetric cycles. And those supersymmetric cycles are essentially some surfaces on which you can wrap brains so that the resulting brain configuration is supersymmetric. Those supersymmetric cycles, which were known before, well, there were many of them, but mostly people studied supersymmetric cycles which arise as calibrated cycles in manifolds of special holonomy. This manifold of special holonomy had Euclidean signature. And only recently people started really considering some interesting examples of supersymmetric cycles which exist only in spaces with Minkowski signature, where indefinite signature of metric is very important. So probably the study of, so it will be very interesting to study these new examples of supersymmetric cycles in more detail. Maybe we will extract more information about string theory. So I want we don't have a So I want to consider those new examples of supersymmetric cycles are called giant gravitons, and they appear in the study of ADS-CFT correspondence. So I want, first of all, to just repeat the notations to remind some general facts about ADS-CFT correspondence. In ADS-CFT correspondence, we study supergravity in the spaces which are in some sense close to anti-de-Sitter space, which is a universal cover of the hyperboloid embedded into flat space with indefinite metric of the signature 2 pluses and several minuses. The boundary of this ADS space has, there is a natural notion of boundary, and it inherits from the bulk the conformal structure. The boundary turns out conformally the product of time and n minus 2 dimensional sphere. ADS-CFT correspondence implies that there is a conformal field theory living on the boundary, and that supergravity in the bulk is the strong coupling description of the dynamics of the superconformal theory. The most famous realization of this program is the duality between type 2b on ADS 5 cross S 5 and supersymmetric young Mills theory on R cross S 3. This correspondence was formulated very precisely and allows for computation of super young Mills correlation functions in the limit of strong coupling. It turns out that primary operators in supersymmetric young Mills correspond to massive fields in the anti-de-Sitter space. And so if you have a free field with mass m, then the conformal dimension and spin t, then the conformal dimension of the operator living on the boundary corresponding to this free field is given by this formula. Essentially, it's more or less at large m, it's proportional to m. A standard way to construct So to understand what are the primary operators in the theory on the boundary, we have to understand what are the massive fields in ADS. So the standard way to construct this massive field is to use Kolb-Kosek-Lyang harmonics on S5. You take some massive field in ADS 5 plus S5, and upon dimensional reductions, you can take various Kolb-Kosek-Lyang harmonics, and it gives us massive fields in ADS 5. This Kolb-Kosek-Lyang harmonics have mass proportional to the angular momentum. By angular momentum, I mean here the eigenvalue of the Laplace operator on the sphere. And some of the Kolb-Kosek-Lyang harmonics actually are supersymmetric. So this gives supergravity description of operators with dimension of the order 1. Now the question is, it's very interesting in this situation to study operators with large conformal dimension. And it turns out that we cannot apply Kolb-Kosek-Lyang harmonic to study them because when we are saying calcitonin harmonics, we are assuming that the field is, that the fluctuations, that the harmonic response to small fluctuation around anti-de-Sitter background, so that we can use the linearized equation of supergravity for this perturbation. But in fact, one can see that when we increase the mass, the linearized approximation is destined to break down at some point. Some way to see it is to estimate the Schwarzschild radius, which is proportional to square root of the mass in five dimensions. And if you take the particle with this mass m, then you see that the Schwarzschild radius of this particle is proportional to its quantum wavelength, to some coefficient, which is the ratio of the momentum of the particle and the rank of the gauge group of the boundary. Now, when momentum becomes of the order m to the power of 2/3, we have Schwarzschild radius of the order of quantum wavelength, which means that linearized supergravity is certainly not applicable. Nevertheless, some operators of large conformal dimensions can be described, but not using Kalousek-Klein mode, but using brain. And this was done for 1/2 BPF states by my grievous asking in Tumbas in this paper. And I want to briefly review their construction. What they did is they intuitively think of massless fields in 10 dimensions as a massless particle, and which they call graviton. Although it might be respond to more of Dirac or some massless field, but they call it graviton. So this massless graviton moves on geodesics in ADS5, on time-like geodesics on ADS5, and on the big circle of the sphere. So the product of this cycle, the diagonal of this cycle is actually a massless geodesic in ADS5 surface 5. Now, they observe that because of the 5-form field strength on the sphere, the massless graviton actually gets polarized and becomes a D3 brain, which has a shape of a sphere. So here we have a selected plane, coordinates x1, x2, on which the particle moves. Then it's polarized in the orthogonal direction, becomes a sphere in this direction. Now, the configuration is that the sphere, when we move, the projection of this configuration on ADS is still a point, and when this point moves along time-like geodesic, the center of mass of the sphere moves along the equator of the five is the speed of light. Even so, the center of mass moves in the speed of light, the actual point of the sphere actually moves the speed lower than the speed of light, because the circles on which they move have smaller radii than the big equator. Magrivi, Susskind, and Tumbas only proven that this configuration satisfies equations of motion. But then the supersymmetry for this configuration was discovered by Grisaru, Maes, Tafiot, and Hashimoto, Hirano, Itzhaki in two independent papers. They proven that these configurations are 1/2 BPS, and also, surprisingly, they found another configuration. And those other configurations are actually polarized inside ADS, not inside the sphere. One can formally think about some kind of analytic continuation, which actually makes sphere ADS and ADS a sphere. So which exchanges ADS 5 process 5 with S5 cross ADS 5. Indeed, the ADS 5 is the hyperboloid, and S5 is a sphere. So if we multiply the last four coordinates of the flat space by imaginary units, then we formally make one into another. And in some sense, these two configurations are related by such analytic continuation. Also, I don't know whether it is, whether it has any physical meaning. Now, one can estimate, actually find exactly the mass of this configuration and see that the mass is given by the standard relativistic formula, which is the density of the brain proportional to 1 over G-string times the volume of the 3 brain, and rho is the distance from the giant graviton to the center of the sphere. So one can see that important point is that if we formally take small giant graviton, so if the sphere collapses to a point, then the mass is zero, R squared plus rho squared. And when the maximal, well, in Magrivi, Saskin, Kumba's picture, the maximal mass is achieved when rho is zero, which means that the D3 brain becomes a big circle on the sphere, on the size sphere. And in this case, one can see that the mass is such that corresponding dimension is just n, the rank of the gauge group. In Magrivi, Saskin, Kumba's picture, you cannot have states with larger mass. And that's how they explain the Stringer exclusion principle. Well, it's not called Stringer. For a DS factor, five is called just the bound on the conformal dimensions. But then, of course, it was papered by other authors which proven that there are those other supersymmetric configurations spread inside a DS5, and so it is controversial at this point, which I cannot say much. Now, what I want to talk about is really that we expect, besides one-half supersymmetric states, have also states with lower supersymmetry. In fact, representation theory of superconformal algebra allows also one-quarter BPS and one-eighth BPS states. So we will classify our states by the momentum, which is element of the L-symmetry algebra, SL6, the algebra of rotations of the sphere, the size sphere. By conjugation, we can think that M belongs to Cartan subalgebra. And then, of course, the supersymmetry generators in Young Mills are spinners in the spinner representation of this SL6. So let us take the particular spinner, which is the highest rate vector in the spinner representation. Then the value of the air charge on the spinner is equal to the scalar product of the air charge with the highest rate vector of the spinner representation, which is some matrix of SL6. And so the BPS bound arising from the study of commutation relations implies that the conformal dimension of the operator is just the product of momentum and the value of the momentum on the highest rate vector of the spinner representation. I should say that there are two ways of talking about delta. Either it is a conformal dimension of operator, or delta, or if you compactify the theory on S3, then delta divided by the radius of S3 will be the mass of the corresponding mass of state, the mass of the energy of the corresponding state on S3, because operators correspond to state on S3. Now, the representation theory of superconformal algebra is, of course, a well-studied subject, and there are lots of references that I actually use like this one, which is Krara and Sokachev. They studied the possible BPS multiplets, and they found that besides one-half BPS states, one should also have, one can, in principle, have one-quarter BPS states and one-eighth BPS states. And so the conformal dimension of the corresponding operators is the product of their momentum, which is some integer matrix in SO4. Integer matrix in SO4 can be classified by its Dinkin labels. And we have just to take conformal dimension, we have to evaluate this matrix on the highest state of spinner representation, and this gives us, for one-half BPS state, as I will also explain later, the allowed angular momenta are very restricted, and they are somewhat restricted for one-quarter BPS state, and it can be general for one-eighth BPS state. I think they did, yes, but I cannot reproduce. My impression was that they know how to write. Yes. In terms of super new skills. But I've never studied that really, unfortunately. They have a nice mathematical picture of the state as harmonic functions on some cassette space, which is called harmonic space. So what I want to do is to reproduce, to understand how this 1/4 and 1/8 DPS state can be constructed from brain configuration, from Boolean brain configuration. To understand that, I want to first remind you how to construct killing spinners in ADS5 process 5. This is a well-known subject, but I found that it is not very well represented in literature. If I'm wrong, then tell me. I didn't find very good efficiency. I'm saying that Magritte, Safkind, and Tumbas only represent this Magritte, Safkind, and Tumbas construction only works for those states which have very special momentum in SL6. And the constraint is the following, that the momentum in SL6 is an anti-symmetric 6x6 matrix, right? Now, in their construction, the momentum, this anti-symmetric matrix should be anti-symmetric product of two vectors, which is not true for arbitrary anti-symmetric matrix. For other anti-symmetric matrix, giant spherical gravitons will not work. You need to do something else. I want to precisely explain what to do. So I want to first start with reminding you what are the killing spinners on ADS5 process 5. So we compactify type 2D on ADS5 process 5, and there is, we put fermionic field equal to zero. So supersymmetry transformations are given by the spinners in space-time. There are two Majorana Weyl spinners. One of them comes from a left moving sector on the Wolfschmidt, the other comes from the right moving sector, but it is very, very convenient to combine them into the single complex Weyl spinner. Not Majorana, but the complex Weyl spinner. And suppose that our axion and dilaton are both constants and we turn off the three-form field strength. Then under these conditions, the supersymmetric variation of dilatine will be automatically zero, and the supersymmetric variation of gravitine would be equal to the modified covariant derivative of the spinner. The modification is by adding of some piece proportion to the five-form field strength. Now, for epsilon to correspond to killing, epsilon is called killing spinner if corresponding variation is zero, if this equation is satisfied. We'll solve this equation by embedding ADS5 process 5 into a flat 12-dimensional space. I want to explain how this is done. First of all, let me remind you a very trivial thing about what is a spinner field on a manifold. Suppose we are given some manifold M, then what does it mean to have spinner field on manifold M? It means that basically the spinner field is defined with respect to the choice of the tetrad, which is the field of D orthogonal normalized vectors on M. So the rule of the game is that for any given tetrad, we should give a field psi of x taking values in the spinner representation of SOD. And we should do it in such a way that for any different tetrad, we should have the new spinner field equal to the old spinner field times the spinner representation of SOD matrix, which brings one tetrad to the other tetrad. Now, this is basically the definition of the spinner field. So, now consider the situation when our manifold is embedded in the larger manifold. So suppose the dimension of M is D, and suppose the dimension of the larger manifold is D plus 2. And also suppose that the normal bundle of M and N is a trivial bundle. Then in this situation, so normal bundle to M in N is trivial bundle, and let us denote omega orthogonal, the generator of rotations in the two planes which is orthogonal to the tangent space of M. So we took our manifold M, embedded it into N, and our tangent space had codimension 2, so it was two-dimensional orthogonal plane, and omega perpendicular denotes the rotation of this orthogonal space, the generator of rotation. Right? Now suppose that we are given a spinner field on N, which satisfies the property that the spinner representation of the generator of rotations in the orthogonal plane on this spinner is I. So it's an eigenvector of this rotation. Now I'm saying in this situation there is a natural spinner field on M arising from psi, which is kind of pullback or restriction of, better to say, restriction of the spinner on M. And it is defined up to a phase, in fact. It's a phase related to the choice of trivialization of the normal bundle. And this is something very easy to understand. So what we have to do is for each choice of the tetrad on M, we have to construct the field taking value in the spinner representation. And we do it by, first of all, completing the tetrad to the tetrad on N by adding the two trivializing, the two vectors orthogonal to N. We can choose them globally because the orthogonal bundle was trivial. Now, given this large tetrad, we associate to it, of course, the psi, the spinner field on N, which belongs to the spinner representation of SOD plus 2. But then, because of this property, the commutator of the last two gamma matrices acts trivially on psi. And therefore, this psi can really be thought of belonging to the representation of SOD. And that's what we wanted. We wanted for each tetrad to get the function and the values of representation of SOD. Now, there was an ambiguity in this construction in the choice of two orthogonal vectors. But all these choices are related to each other by the rotation, and we have this property. So the ambiguity leads only to a phase, which is just what I claimed. Of course, in this situation, there is hard to say. So what we did, we restricted special class of spinners on N to the submanifold. And in general situation, it's very hard to say anything about the differential geometrical property of such restriction. Say if you started with the covariantly constant spinner on N, what would happen after its restriction to M? Will it be the covariantly constant spinner on M or something else? In general, we cannot say anything, but in our situation, when we embed, we want to embed ADS5 process 5 into R2 plus 10, and in this situation, there is a natural trivialization of the normal bundle. We can take the vector orthogonal to ADS5 and the vector orthogonal to S5, and given a natural trivialization, we have now a canonical map without any choice of phase. So spinners in R2 plus 10 give us spinners in ADS5 process 5. Now, there is a theorem proven by Bar, I'm not sure how to pronounce him, saying that this map allows us to build covariantly constant spinners in ADS5 process 5. They claim this is proven by direct computation, and the statement is that if you take a constant spinner in this flat space, just constant spinner, such that it is chiral in both ADS5 and S5. Sorry, chiral in both R2 plus 4 and R0 plus 6. So we impose two chirality conditions, which leaves us, of course, with 16 complex spinners. Then this condition is, of course, incompatible with this. But we can act by a straightforward projector on the space of spinners satisfying this condition. And once we projected, once we written this formula, this new spinner, which is already not constant in R2 plus 4, because 2 plus 10, because these matrices are formally not constant, then, but it satisfies this property, so we can take its pullback. We can take its restriction on the ADS5 process 5, and this gives us the spinner on ADS5 process 5. And the statement is that when we started with constant double chiral spinners in R2 plus 10, then we will get a killing spinner on ADS5 process 5 in a sense of that modified equation for killing spinners, modified with a five-form field strength. So this is a very convenient description, because the formula is actually quite simple in this coordinate. You just go to higher dimensions, and you take spinners of the form 1 plus gamma gamma times the constant spinner. And the proof of this theorem is direct computation. Now, this allows us to construct 1/8 BPS giant graviton. So what we will do, we embed our sphere into the six-dimensional space, and we give the six-dimensional space a complex structure. There is ambiguity in the choice of complex structure, but depending on how we choose it, we will have different supersymmetry spaces. So R6, we represent as C3. Now, suppose that we have a holomorphic surface in C3, given by equation f of z equals 0, where z1, z2, z3 are just three coordinates on the three-dimensional complex space. Then we take the world volume of our D3 brain at time 0 at the intersection of this surface with the 5 sphere. It's easiest to draw in the case when the surface is just a holomorphic plane. Then it will get just a 6 sphere in the intersection. And we think of this, but in general, we can take arbitrary, maybe very complicated holomorphic surface, and we will have a complicated intersection of strange shape, consisting maybe of several connected components. Anyway, we will think of this intersection as the world surface of the D3 brain at time 0. And then, if we just leave it as it is, then it will collapse, generally speaking. Of course, it won't be supersymmetric, it won't be solution of equation of motion, nothing. But we will start now moving it. And then we will start moving it in such a way that when we move it, it starts interacting with the five-form field strength, which kind of stretches it and makes it stable. We move it in the following way. We will construct some special vector field on a five-sphere. We will take the unit normal vector of the five-sphere and then act on it by the complex structure on C3. And this gives us the vector tangent to the 5 sphere, which has also unit length. So we know that for arbitrary odd dimensional sphere, we can construct in such a way the vector of, which is everywhere non-vanishing and moreover has length 1. So every odd dimensional sphere can be this way represented as U1 bundle over smaller. Anyway, we have this vector field from the sphere, and what we start doing is we start rotating our transforming or translating our free brain with the speed of light along this vector. So again, since vector is generally not orthogonal to the surface, the actual point of the surface will move with the speed slower than the speed of light. And I'm claiming that this configuration will represent holomorphic, will represent the supersymmetric cycle. The corresponding configuration will be supersymmetric. No, because it is a symmetry. It's kind of rotation of a sphere, in fact. This vector field belongs to SO of X. Yes, but you can think of it as the integral flows of this circle of this vector, the integrated transformation this vector field is just a multiplication of the coordinates z1, z2, z3 by the overall phase, which is a symmetry of. In fact, this is precisely that that highest weight of the spinner representation, the special generator of SO6, that two-diagonal matrix, which is the special generator of SO6, which is the weight of the spinner representation, the highest weight of the spinner representation. So it will be a supersymmetric configuration. You may say that it is non-compact, of course, but because the time is running. But you may, for example, consider instead of universal covering of the hyperboloid, you can consider hyperboloid itself. And in that case, the cycle will have a topology circle times this strange thing on S5, and it will be a compact cycle which will be supersymmetric. I think it's funny. So that's what I wanted to say. We move it along this vector with the speed of light, which means that we multiply all the coordinates by the phase factor, minus IC over R. And C is the geodesic parameter along, is the length parameter along the time-like geodesic in ADS5. Let me explain how this configuration managed to preserve supersymmetry. In general, what? Yes. Yes, that's okay, yes. Now, the condition for preserved supersymmetry would be, in general, we should take the walled surface of the brain, and we should consider the product of all gamma matrices tangent to it. And this will give us some operator, which acting on psi should give I psi. This is the supersymmetry condition of this free brain. So in this case, we take the sigma hat, is the product of all gamma matrices tangent to the surface at time zero, which is the intersection of the holomorphic surface with the sphere. And this is the velocity vector, which has component inside ADS. Gamma tau is just the gamma matrix representing the tangent vector to the geodesic in ADS. And it has also component along the S5, which is the gamma 5 is the gamma matrix corresponding to the vector which is on the top, which is the projection of our vector field E parallel. Remember, there was that vector field E parallel, which corresponded to multiplication of all coordinates on. The vector field which translates our brain. So E5 will be called the projection of a parallel on, orthogonal projection of E parallel, for the direction orthogonal to the sigma. And this will be the supersymmetry condition. Now, the computation is very, the proof of supersymmetry is very simple. I can reproduce it right here. We rewrite this condition. We just rewrite this as something equal to zero. And then we're substituting this Killing spinner, which we constructed, 1 plus gamma 5, gamma 11 times the double chiral constant spinner in R2 plus 10. And gamma 5 is the gamma matrix orthogonal to ADS5, and gamma 11 is the gamma matrix orthogonal to S5. So then this operator from this, we can put it to the left. Now acts on the constant spinner, which is already nice, because we have some operator acting on the constant spinner. So we reduce, almost reduce our problem to spinners in flat space. Now, reduce the fact that this spinner is double chiral, which means that we can represent sigma as the product of three gamma matrices, which is orthogonal to sigma in S5. Gamma 5 is one of them, just the vector along which we move it. And there are two more. There is gamma 11, the thing which is orthogonal to the whole sphere. And gamma n, which is the vector in the 5 sphere, which is orthogonal both to the direction of motion and to sigma. So using this chirality, we can rewrite it. And then we use this projector to replace gamma orthogonal to 5 sphere with gamma orthogonal to ADS. And then suppose that we impose this constraint on our spinner, which I will explain later. If we impose this constraint, then it turns out this thing is satisfied, because let me explain what kind of constraint. We take the gamma matrix along the geodesic, multiply it, the gamma matrix perpendicular to ADS in R2 plus 4. And then we multiply it by, this is essentially a gamma matrix of representation, a gamma matrix representation of the rotation in the direction orthogonal to C, in the direction orthogonal to our holomorphic surface. So this should, psi plus R should be eigenvalue, eigenvector. If this is eigenvector, then one can replace gamma tau gamma 5 here by this, and gamma of E5 is the same as gamma 5, just different notations. It will cancel. Now we have gamma A, gamma N, gamma I dot E5. I, remember, is complex structure. Now, Here we have gamma n, gamma I dot e phi. Here we have gamma n, gamma perpendicular. Here we have one, but there is a relation turns out, which one can prove by some geometric reasoning, that if you have this orthogonal vector, the vector along which we move our brain, defined as orthogonal component of the parallel, then the action of the complex structure on this vector will be some product of the vector perpendicular to the sphere and the vector perpendicular to both E phi and the free brain. Anyway, substituting this relation here, we see this is zero. Now, it is somewhat tricky to impose this condition on the spinner, because this is a constant spinner, and this matrix is a priori not constant. So what we have here is gamma tau gamma 5, and this is the gamma matrix representation of the rotation in R6 in the plane orthogonal to our holomorphic surface. But then, of course, we can find spinners which satisfy this. First of all, let us notice that gamma tau gamma 5 is in fact constant. The reason why it's constant is the following. The time lag geodesic in ADS 5 is in fact the section of ADS 5 by a plane in R2 plus 4, if you think of ADS 5 as embedded in R2 plus 4. So it's a section by a two plane. But then gamma tau gamma 5 is, of course, by vector just tangent to the plane, which is constant. This thing is not constant, but we know how to deal with such things. We just, the most obvious way is to say that all holomorphic gamma matrices should annihilate our psi plus plus, which makes it, notice, the highest state of the spinner representation. We impose this just because gamma tau gamma 5 is constant. And then we say that psi plus plus is the highest state of the spinner representation. And then this is 1 over 8 of supersymmetry. Now, this surely worked, and this is the only thing that works for the most generic C, for most generic surface. Now we can think what happens if you take less generic surface. For example, let us think if you take tubular surface, when the defining equation depends only on two coordinates. So the surface, it's a four-dimensional surface, it should have form R2 cross some algebraic curve. Then in this case, these things are special. The orthogonal planes to the tangent space of C belongs actually, in general, it belongs to C3, to whole R6 or C3, but now it will belong to the two-dimensional complex plane. So besides this, we can write another solution. We can take two first anti-holomorphic zero and the last one holomorphic. And then we take minus instead of plus, so it will give us another one over 8. So in total, in this case, we will have one quarter supersymmetry preserved. And of course, such kind of gravitons formally falls in the same category. If F is just, for example, just F of V is just V1. In general, if F depends just on one coordinate, then we will have spherical configuration. And in this case, we can impose just this condition directly, because this is constant. And to preserve one half of BPL. And of course, we see that this more or less gives us what we should expect from the specification, which I shown you later, because in this case, in the case of arbitrary C, it is, so I have not proven it, but it should be arbitrary momentum. I don't see any restrictions on the momentum. In case C is a tubular surface, depending only on two coordinates, then the rotations in the V3 plane would preserve our configuration. So the V3 plane, so the V3 rotation should not have any angular momentum. And that's of course, but this V3 rotation is precisely the difference between the highest rate of spinner representation and the highest rate of conjugate spinner representation. And that's why the angular momentum C will be QPQ. The two here should be equal to this case. And that's what, you know, for quarter BPS state. And of course, for half BPS states, it will be just, for half BPS case, it will be just 0, P0. and the C is the weight of the vector representation of S0 figure for anti-symmetric tensor of SV4. So we should have notation is just one plane. Anyway, it's funny to verify the BPS bound for this configuration. And this is again a straightforward computation. First of all, one can write a formula for the mass or for the energy of this rotating configuration, and say the energy is given by very very familiar formula. Here, remember, V perpendicular is the projection of our translating vector on the space orthogonal to the brain, and V parallel is of course the parallel component of the transporting vector, the shift vector. And we can represent this as a product of V parallel with some vector in sigma. Anyway, we get some formula, and after some thinking, we see that energy is equal to integral over C. C is the holomorphic surface in the ambient five-dimensional space. We integrate the volume of the surface, but we insert the delta function, which says that we should kind of intersect it with the sphere. And when we take the derivative in the delta function, we exactly get this coefficient for the mass formula. Now, as I said, we have this generator of high-speed generator of U1 rotations or the parallel, and this is just a phase rotation. And we want to compute the corresponding momentum. We expect that the mass should be equal to the value of the momentum on this generator. And that's, of course, what we get. In fact, the momentum, if you look at the Born-Winfield action, the momentum consists of two pieces. The first piece comes from Born-Winfield action. In general, if you consider arbitrary element of SO6 and the corresponding symmetry is delta x, the corresponding vector field, then the momentum will be given by this formula, where the first comes from variation of Born-Winfield action and the second comes from variation of the Weiss-Zimina action. And the first is given in terms of integral over sigma, and the second in terms of integral over the surface filling sigma in S5. F is the five-form field strength. Then we can rewrite this formula in a suggestive way. For our special U1 generator, say delta x equal parallel. It turns out that the thing coming from Born-Winfield action is equal to this integral. And if we put one here instead of V perpendicular square, then it will be just energy. But here is velocity in the numerator. So it's in fact energy minus something, because this is less than one. And this minus will cancel this with the contribution to momentum coming from the Weiss-Zimina coupling. The Weiss-Zimina contribution of the momentum is equal to the integral of the contraction of F with the translating vector. F, the high form of the sphere, or the volume element of the sphere, may be thought of as the volume element of R6 contracted with the perpendicular vector to the sphere. And of course, we then just somehow express this omega in terms of scalar form in C3. And then we are using the fact that one can see that if we contract the volume form with parallel vector and then perpendicular, then we get the scalar product of two scalar forms in PS5. This is not true in general, of course, only when restricted on PS5, because otherwise you will get forms when one contracted with this and the other contracted with the other, but on S5, this will be zero. So we have only this term. And then we can just rewrite this thing in terms of, since this form is closed, we can, instead of integrating by the surface filling on the sphere, we can integrate over the part of the C of the surface C, which is inside the five sphere. And then we can integrate it by part using the representation of the scalar form as the differential of something growing at infinity. and after integrating by part, you get, of course, some integral, some expression which is the integral over so D3 itself. You don't need ceiling anymore. And this can be identified with our vector, with our solid product. So by such manipulation, one can prove that the contribution to the momentum coming from the Gasminiton is equal to the piece in to that nasty piece which we wanted to cancel. So it cancels with this. And if it cancels, we prove that it is bound. So it seems like we do have one quarter and one eighth configuration. Of course, this can be done for other ADS spaces. I want to explain how to do it for ADS 3 cross S3, first of all, and then ADS 4 cross S7 and ADS 7 cross S4. In ADS 3 cross S3, one can also do similar configurations. First of all, let me remind what kind of supersymmetry we have here. The supersymmetric foreground is really ADS 3 cross S3 cross T4. And this is near horizon limit of D1, D5 system. T4 may be also K3, but I want to think of T4. This T4 cannot be arbitrary. If it's a arbitrary torus, then we cannot satisfy supersymmetry condition. But if it satisfies certain attractor conditions, then we will have supersymmetric ceiling spinners here. Example of attracting torus is when we take B fields along the torus equal to zero, first of all. I want to consider just one example of the solution to attractor conditions. So we take B field equal to zero, and also we take this four torus to be of a special shape. And we choose it of such a shape that there is an integral constant self-dual two form on this torus. The form being integral means that the integrals over all two cycles are integers. And of course, there are many such forms for generic torus, but it's only for very special shapes, only on some surfaces in the moderate space of Otto, right, that we have some of these integral forms becoming self-dual. So this is the restriction of the torus. Also, ADS3 cross S3 should be of the same radius. And then if you do it, if you consider such things, then we can make it supersymmetric by turning on a self-dual 5 form, which is the volume form of ADS3 plus volume form of S3, which is self-dual 2 form. And this background corresponds to the near horizon geometry of the D3 brain wrapped on a two cycle in T4, which is Poincaré dual to alpha. Since the lattice of second cohomology of the four torus is unimodular, we can always find Poincaré dual representing this integral two form. And so we wrap D3 brain on this two cycle, and then we go to the near horizon limit, and we see that it is geometry. Now, yes. On the two torus, it won't work because in that case, you cannot wrap it on the two torus because in that case, alpha square. Right. Yeah. We have to wrap it on something else, not on the two torus, on something which is not flat, essentially. You take some other holomorphic, some other surface inside T4, which is very complicated, for which you can write explicit expression in terms of theta functions. But the two torus will not work. And the reason why it will not work is that the self-intersection of the two torus is zero. Either characteristic is zero for the torus. Therefore, alpha squared will be zero. But how can alpha squared be zero? Alpha which alpha will be zero? Because alpha is Poincaré dual to the cycle. But how can alpha which alpha be zero if alpha is still dual? This should be the length of the figure. So it won't work. On which you can wrap the three brain, and then it will have the finite, the nice near horizon limit, which is ADS 3 cross S3 cross attractive torus. Yes. And this is just C dual to D1, D5. So it would be what you would suggest is just take d5 without d1, but it would not work, of course. So I want to. So one can construct again supersymmetric spinners on such a background by the torus has the two parameter family of complex structures. So we take one of them for which, since alpha was self-dual, there is some particular complex structure for which the Taylor form is proportional to alpha. We will call it J. And then we embed it again into R2 plus 6 cross C4. And we take a constant spinner in this flat space, which now has three plus indices because we want to impose actually three conditions of this size. And the first condition is that psi is chiral inside T4. And the second and the third is that the chiralities inside R2 plus 2 and R4 correlate with the eigenvalues of psi plus plus on the vector and on the holomorphic tangent vector, on the holomorphic two vectors in the T4. So there are holomorphic surfaces in T4. For which the tangent space is invariant under action of complex structure. And this thing, because the vector is self-dual, this the eigenvalue of this if this is plus for some vector, then it's plus for any other vector also, because of the chirality condition. And so we will get 8. We started with four vectors, and we get 8 out of them, I guess, because we impose three conditions. So we have 64 vectors because we get 4 by 4 by 4. Okay. Now, Hilling spinner is constructed in the same way. You just apply the projector. Gamma 3 is the gamma matrix orthogonal to ADS3, and gamma 7 is the gamma matrix orthogonal to S3. And then we can probe this configuration. We can probe this background by the D3 brain wrapped on the torus on the cycle, on the two cycle Poincaré dual to alpha. And we write again the supersymmetry condition. And now it turns out that it's even simpler. Case of ADS5 process 5. So what I want to do is so after I wrapped my probe D3 brain on the two cycle in T4, I get some effective string in secret dimension. So what I want to do is I want to make the string of arbitrary shape inside S3 and point in ADS3. So in S3, I will take the arbitrary contour and think of it as 9 strings. And then I will move it along the preferred direction with the speed of light, and simultaneously I will go along the massive diagonal in ADS. Then, if we impose a couple more conditions on psi, which are compatible with the conditions imposed before, then one can see that. The symmetry variation is in fact 0, and therefore the black string, well, I call it black string for some reason, because it has non-zero horizon area. So if you translate this contour with the speed of light along, we represent S3 as U2, and so there are left and right translations on S2. So, for example, we can pick left translations and translate it to the speed of light along the left translation, some element of S2. And then it will preserve one quarter supersymmetry independently of the shape, surprisingly. And in particular, for spherical shape, it will be preserved one half supersymmetry. And, Now, there are similar constructions for ADS4 process 7 and ADS7 process 4. And of course, in this case, they embed a 7 into 4 and we wrap M5 brains from the same construction. They come over 7 into 4, intersect, and we get 1/2, 1/4, and 1/8 BPS state. And in principle, the representation theory allows also 3/8 BPS states. But there is an argument that in the 2.0 theory, there are no 3/8 BPS states because they cannot be represented as a product of singletons itself. But we need to. Sorry, not 2.0 theory, but the theory on the membrane. This is dual to the conformal cell theory on the low energy of M2 brain, which has many BPS operators, but they should be obtained by the product of singletons. And the 3/4 3/8 BPS state requires both singleton and both D and RAC vectors. Now on ABS7 process 4, we cannot embed S4 into complex space because R5 does not have complex structure, but we still can manage somehow to split R5 into R cross C2 and then translate it, then do something, consider tubular elements with it, form of itself in C2 and lining up. So anyway, it appears like there are many configurations, and this is in agreement with what we expect from the dual conformal field theory. One problem is, of course, that there are too many of them. Well, maybe not too many, but there is a continuum of such configurations. We can take literally arbitrary holomorphic surface, and then the intersections will give us some giant graviton. Of course, we don't expect to have the continuum of BPS states, but the spectrum of BPS states should be discrete. So somehow, when we quantize the theory on the volt volume of this probe brain, we should get discrete spectrum, and it's just like, we should have the discrete spectrum of states, and each, what this continuous function of freedom really means that we consider that the holomorphic giant gravitons are in fact superpositions of large number of supersymmetric quantum states. And to figure out the degeneracies, we really have to consider the quantization. But so on the field theory side, on the CFT side, we expect the degeneracy of the state depend on its momentum, the number of brains, and probably also, I'm not sure, on the coupling constant. M is the momentum of the state. So for example, we take supersymmetric Young mu and amplify it on S3. Then there are SO6, it's called R charge on this. M is called R charge, which is basically some integer valued matrix. So the degeneracy of the state should be a function of M, the rank of the gauge group, and the coupling constant. You don't want to have coupling constant. Okay. I'm not sure about that. I don't know why. I don't know any good argument why coupling constant doesn't. I don't know. The degeneracy, for example, in n equals 4 super Young mu, when we have symmetry breaks, when we have on the Coulomb phase, it may happen that BPS states exist in one region of parameters and don't exist in the other. It costs some terms of marginal stability. N equals to 4 also. 1/4 BPS states in SU3, which are represented by string networks connecting 3D3 brains. If you move this to close, what is so special about coupling constant? And this is actually this coupling constant, because you can move it here, but the tangents of the string still depend on coupling constant. So you can cross the cross marginal stability in two ways. You can vary coupling constant on u can vary the expectation value of x. So it does depend on coupling constant. But in any case, I also don't want g here. Suppose that we have a Born infinite theory which we can quantize. Then in the Born infinite theory for the giant graviton, the only massless, this should be a number, so it should depend on dimensionless parameter. The only dimensionless parameter is the product of the tangent of the disk brain and the radius of the ADS space. Right? And of course, it is always equal just to the number of the brain. So naively, if one could quantize the Born infinite action, it sounds very, very questionable for me, but I don't believe we can. Then we will get just the degeneracy, which is a function of the only dimensionless parameter, which is tr, t plus 1, and the momentum. But in fact, we cannot quantize Born infinite action because there are ultraviolet divergences. The theory is non-normalizable. So you need extra input, and this extra input should be in ADS 5 plus 5 is something like alpha prime corrections. And this alpha prime corrections, besides that, means that the dual size of the degeneracy might depend on coupling constant of all sub-dimensions. So I'm confused about that. The other open questions are how whether one can turn on the gauge field on the wall volume of the giant gravitons. I have not tried to do that, but it might be very, something very interesting. And also, there are interesting examples of polarization of massive particles studied by Myers the electric effect. So it would be interesting if those polarizations also can have funny shapes, not only sphere. And for that, I also don't know answer. So this looks funny. This is brutal. I tried, but I couldn't. Maybe I didn't try it hard enough, but I had a feeling that I couldn't because I don't know what is for a more successful thing at 2 plus 4. And how didn't work. I haven't thought enough about it. I think it's impossible. I think I said it's an argument that it's impossible, but maybe wrong. I mean, it's possible for spherical gravitons, but then, of course, in for spherical gravitons, there was kind of loosely speaking analytic continuation. It's not clear that analytic continuation would work well for other gravitons because you cannot split into 2 plus 4 naturally. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. But it is important that the space has Minkowski signature. You wouldn't get anything like this without it. And also, there are interesting supersymmetric configurations in flat space. The simplest and well-known configuration, which I should have mentioned probably in the beginning, is that if you have this string and create arbitrary wiggle on it and then move it with the speed of light in some direction, then it's supersymmetric, so that's moving wave. It preserves one quarter supersymmetry. And it is, if you compactify it on a circle, we would have the corresponding DPS state, which are the classical, which are in S-dual language would correspond to superposition of double Karp Harvey state, which are DPS states in the massive spectrum of the string. So the wiggles are compositions of lots of oscillators. And there are examples of supersymmetric configurations in flat space, but they're all necessarily non-compact. We have to go to infinity at some point. Otherwise, we would get points where we move the speed of light. I don't know what to do with this intersection of this thing. Whether it can be studied What are the degrees of freedom leading on the intersection? I don't think there are any, but maybe there are interesting questions. Thank you.